This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Happy to have a home for a family. We're all your homes, we're all your family.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining me, Yahya Ibrahim, here on Peace TV, as we discuss how to build a happy home. One of the greatest things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with is children. A progeny, someone to carry our name and our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the future generations. Someone who will be in the worship of Allah and following the tradition and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone who will take care of us, insha'Allah, bi'ithnillah, in our older age when we are in need. Someone who will love us as much as we have loved them, growing them up and nurturing them, teaching them and being faithful to them. And our children really are our life. They become a main and most important source of our existence. And you find that the Prophet ﷺ demonstrated the greatest capacity of love for young children, those who were within his family or the children of the Ummah ﷺ. He has the famous hadith that we have all memorized, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَهُ وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرًا. Truly a person cannot have nearness of faith to be one of us if he does not honor his elder and equally most importantly as well, show mercy and clemency and kindness to those who are younger and smaller in age. The Prophet ﷺ has taught us to nurture the love of Islam in our young children, to introduce to them the principles of Islam, the worship of Allah, the love for the Prophet ﷺ, the love for his companions and the mothers of the believers, the love for their fellow man and for humanity, the willingness to be an instrument of righteous conduct and righteous deeds so that people will want to follow their example and to grow up in the path of Allah. And one of the greatest things that a person can attain is to have children who later on after our death make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our behalf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, كُلُّ بْنِ عَمَلِ آدَمْ. All of the deeds of a human being are cut off, are ended at the moment of their death. إِلَّا ثَلَاثْ. Except for three types of things. And one of them, وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُ لَهُ. A righteous child, a child that they nurtured upon belief in Allah, who therefore becomes righteous in their word and conduct and sincerity to Allah, that continues to make dua for his parents after their death. How can we forget the great dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam? رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْ. O Allah, forgive me and my parents. An often mentioned dua of Ibrahim. The most known dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Ibrahim alayhi salam would always invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his parents, even though they were unbelievers at a period in time. And once Ibrahim came to know that they have died in a state of shirk and disbelief in Allah, he then stopped making that dua for them and continued to make his dua for the rest of humanity and for his ummah. So let us learn this important lesson. Our love for our children begets and increases their love for us. The main aim that you want with your child, young and old, is for them to have a level of love and respect for you. It's not to have just fear of you. One of the saddest tragedies that we may find as Muslims is that when we seek to teach important principles of Islam to our children, we teach them along with the good, many negative traits. And we can use, for example, the trait of trying to teach our children to be consistent and constant in their prayers. So you'll find a father who will be working all day at home. He will come home at a little bit before Maghrib prayer. And as soon as he comes in, alhamdulillah, he does the right thing and greets his family and everyone. And then asks his son and daughter, هَلْ صَلَّيْتُمُ الْعَصْرِ. Have you finished your Asr prayers? Have you prayed? Now the child may answer yes. Alhamdulillah, I have prayed. And the father has been successful in teaching his son. The child may also answer and say, yes, I prayed, even though they haven't. And the reason they lied to their father isn't because they're respectful of their father, but because they were fearful of him, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a danger. Here the father has caused the son to learn to fear him for missing an act of worship that is only to be given for Allah and with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we overcome these hurdles? How do we link our children to the love of Allah and the fear of Allah rather than just the fear of us? Fear of letting us down or for us to be disappointed of them. And tragically, and in error, fear of us striking them. For that was never in the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do we do it? Well, we pray together. We build a healthy home. And we will come to that as we proceed in our discussion, inshaAllah. So our children truly are our life. Look at some of the great examples of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Examples that we see missing today from even our leaders, even our imams and people who teach us about Islam. Have you ever seen an imam on the day of Jumu'ah as he's speaking to 100 people, not thousands, just even 100 people, as he's standing on the minbar talking about issues that are related to Islam, that his young child or grandson begins to cry, that the imam descends from the minbar, descends from the pulpit, walks out into the audience, picks up his grandson or son, gets back up on the pulpit, up on the minbar, and continues his talk while soothing his son or grandson? Never seen that myself. But I have heard of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing so. In an authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam noticed Al-Hasan or Al-Husayn near the entrance of the masjid. And he didn't find that there was someone who had comforted him. So in the middle of the discussion, in the middle of khutbat al-jumu'ah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped, got down from the minbar, walked, picked up Al-Hasan, consoled him, patted him, kissed him, loved him, carried him, and climbed back up on the minbar and carried Al-Hasan or Al-Husayn until he finished his discussion and led the prayer with him near him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That immediately shows to you the amount of love and amount of concern and the priority that children should take in our lives. We are at times very, very stern and very strict with our children, with things that really are quite insignificant, with things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have bothered us or the ummah with. At times you will find that there's this negative willingness, unwanting our children to come with us to the masjid. Your wife will ask, well, why don't you take Umar or why don't you take Aisha with you to the... Oh, no, 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 they're going to make noise. They're going to run around with the other kids. I don't want, they might ruin the place. What if they go to the bathroom and it ruins the carpet? We make excuses for ourselves that are unfounded in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In an authentic hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam patted the head of a young child and kissed al-Hasan al-Husayn. He kissed al-Hasan and was holding him and cuddling him and kissing him. And a man saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing this and he said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Ashra Awlad, I have 10 children, and I have not kissed any of them in the way that I've just seen you kissing your grandchildren. The Prophet ﷺ said, what can I do with a man whom Allah has not put mercy in his heart? A person of that nature who is in loving and caring and kind and clement with his children, who doesn't have an attachment to them, a spiritual connection to them, a physical connection with them, a loving touch with them, can never have that true mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart and in his being. And as Muslims, we must be very careful and conscious of our need of being leaders and examples to our children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always concerned with nurturing children and increasing them in their love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would have numerous occasions, as is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, that whenever he'd be passing by through the streets of Al-Madinah, even if he was on a camelback or on a horseback, as he was proceeding, if he saw a group of children playing, the Prophet ﷺ would stop, dismount, get off his riding horse or off the camel, and go to the children and shake each of their hands. يُصَافِحُهُمْ. He would shake their hands and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ma bikum, how are you today? What have you been doing? The Prophet ﷺ had that genuine concern, that genuine love for children and their nourishment and helping them come to the realization that La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Our children truly are our life because they carry our name. You cannot call a child with a name other than the name of his fathers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you in the Quran, Udu'uhum li'aba'ihim. name them and label them as being linked to their father in that paternal sense. Why is that? Why is that so significant? Because he, your son, she, your daughter, are a representation of the life you have lived. They are a representation of your life. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَرْبَعِينَ مِنْ عُمْرُهِ قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. Oh Allah, at the age of 40, Allah tells us in the Quran, an individual turns to Allah when they've reached that age of no return to youth. You've grown up, you're 40 years old, and you say to yourself, Oh Allah, I am thankful for everything that you have given me, for everything that I've been blessed with. وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. And oh Allah, allow me to live the rest of my life in righteous deeds and in good deeds. So you will come to a point in your life where you will look back and see that you are no longer that representative who will remain. That you will have representatives on your behalf on this earth who will continue to spread the word of righteousness. And you look forward to them being righteous. And Allah tells you in Surah An-Nisa, فَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. Let those who fear if they leave behind children or progeny, that they are fearful about their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will they remain upon the truth? Let them, you as an individual, as a father, as a mother now, begin by fearing Allah azza wa jal and having taqwa and awareness of Allah. And in so doing, you ensure the future of your children. I wish to continue our discussion about how important our children are, that our children are our life. Please continue with me again after this short break.
A friendly message by Dr. Zakir. Old age home.
Al-Quran, Surah Al-Isra, chapter number 17, verses number 23 and 24 says, Your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him. And that you be kind to parents. Whether one or both of them attain old age in your life, say not a word of contempt. Do not say uff to them, nor repel them, but address them in terms of honor. And out of kindness, lower to them the wing of humility and say, My Lord, bestow on them your mercy, even as they cherished me in childhood. There is no place for old age home in Islam.
Beats TV, the solution for humanity. Peace TV presents 100 million viewers, more than 30 dynamic dyes, their aim,
if indeed you love Allah, to live like Muslims.
So don't drop the baton.
Their vision.
Something about Iman, something about faith.
May Allah save us from the hellfire.
Ask Allah for protection and peace.
Their mission.
Oh Allah, I turn to you and you alone.
Stand up and passionately strive.
Do what you can to spread the word of Islam.
We are a community that stands up for justice.
Establishing justice and peace.
I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Meet the personalities lighting the new light to remove falsehood and to prevail the truth in Peacemakers. Next on Peace TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining me once again as we discuss how to build a happy home. And all of us, alhamdulillah, we seek to have good children, well-educated children, respectful children. But at times we lose sight of what a good child is. Sometimes we think a good child is the one who's gotten the highest marks or received the highest distinctions in their school studies. Or a child is the one who is an overachiever. But in fact, good children can be raised with many different levels. A child who may not be the most academic in their insight does not necessarily mean that they are a bad child or that they will not be kind and clement and of the best of nature in dealing with their parents and future spouse and that they will have success in this dunya and in the akhirah. It's important for us to have a really good perspective. on what type of religion we have given our children, what type of religiousness and what type of nurturing that we have given them in their devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the things that really has been an inspiration to me is learning about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's great tragedy of losing his son Ibrahim. In the authentic hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, and there's various narrations of this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called to receive his son Ibrahim, who was very, very young in age, 2 years old or so. And Ibrahim fell ill, fell sick, and his breathing became shallow. He was in the state of death, about to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held his son, held his young boy, and he said to him, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَعَ وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنَ وَإِنَّ عَلَى فِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَمَحْزُونُونَ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. Oh my dear son, my dear boy Ibrahim, our eyes are full of tears, our heart is in anguish, and we, at your loss, O Ibrahim, are sorrowful and sad beyond comprehension. These words of the Prophet ﷺ show us how much love he had for his child. Show us how much care that he had. This is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the great Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who endured so much in the world, so much in his spread of the message of Islam, so much of war and tribulation and drought and pestilence and hijrah. So much difficulty did it encounter. And yet you find him in his most tenderest of moments with his son, at the moments of his son's death, weeping, crying, in anguish, in sorrow. And it makes me reflect upon my love for my children and how much care and concern that I have for them. They are the greatest thing that we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And those who lose a child or have not yet been blessed with a child can also feel that similar pain and desire of wanting to have something that will carry on the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish to dwell on an important incident in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that stresses to us the concern and the care the Prophet had for young children. There was a young boy who was named Aba Umayr, father of Umayr. Now this young child was only 3 or 4, he wasn't the father of anything in particular. But at the time in Arabia, they would give kunya or titles father of something in anticipation and in hope that when he grew up, he would be, alhamdulillah, blessed with children and maybe blessed with a child named Umayr. But this young boy of 4 or 5 years old, he used to have Nu'ayrad, a small little sparrow, a finch, a little bird that he had in a cage. And he used to love his bird so much. He'd feed it and clean it and water it and take care of it and nurture it. It was his greatest, most loved thing. And as we find out in Sahih al-Bukhari, sadly this bird died. And when the Prophet ﷺ came to hear of the death of this bird, of a young child, the Prophet called his companions, radiallahu anhum, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and told them, come, let's go visit the home of Abu Umayr. I've heard that his bird has died. Now this is Rasulullah ﷺ, the governor of the ummah, the teacher of the ummah, the receiver of wahy, the greatest man to walk on the earth. He asks the sahaba to accompany him to visit a young boy to pay his condolences for the death of his bird. Al-Imam ibn Hajr, rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars of hadith, uses this hadith. The only statement the Prophet ﷺ makes in this hadith is, when he meets Abu Umayr, he says to him, Ya Aba Umayr, ماذا فعل النعير? Oh young Abu Umayr, what did your bird do? What happened? Is it dead? What happened to it? Now in that one statement and in this one instance of this young child's life, there's more than 100 fiqh lessons we learn from this one incident of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From it, for example, is that you can have a pet, you can trap an animal in a cage, you can feed it, you can clean it, what to do with an animal after its death, that you can console a child for it, that you can give a child the name of a kunya. All of these things we learn it from this one instance of the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in his showing of kindness to this child. How do we raise our children with a sense of love, respect for us and for the society they live in? One of the most important things that we need to do, and we begin with it, is to teach them sincerity to Allah. We gave you that example earlier of a father that comes and asks his son, why didn't you pray? And with harshness, the son may lie to him. The daughter may lie to him and say, oh, no, no, I prayed, just so that they don't get harassed or harmed or distressed by their father. Now, the most ideal example of leadership in your home is to pray with your children and to get your children to pray in jama'ah if they're not doing it in the masjid. If you live in a distant country, in a Western country, where the masajid are not always nearby, some prayers you will at times find it necessary to pray them in the home. Those prayers should not be done individually or in isolation. They need to be done together. And that is the greatest way of nurturing your child's love and respect and constancy of prayer. It's not that your son says, oh, let me finish this game and then I'll pray later. No, salah has a time and we pray together. Even if you have just come back from the jama'ah, from the mosque, pray with your family. Lead your family in prayer. If your wife and your whole family were unable to go together, you are the leader of that home. Establish your salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your sunnah in your home. Let your family pray together. And that teaches your family the constancy of salah rather than the punishment they will be inflicted from you if they have missed their salah. So we need to teach sincerity and spirituality through our practice, our emulation. What good is it for us to say to our child, salli, and we haven't prayed? What good is to say pray, but they see us deficient in other things? Do you think your son or daughter will have a sense of respect for you if you pretend to them that you are devout, but they can see in your heart you are not? They see in your heart that the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for you, you spend very little on the home, and then you spend in excess on yourself for cigarettes or fun or entertainment. Do you think that they will find it pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you command them to salah, but you're vulgar in your language to your wife? Do you think your daughter will respect you, my dear Muslim sister, if you tell her, put on the hijab, but you are loose in your attitudes, and you are loose in your tongue, in how you speak with your other sisters, and backbite other women, and talk negatively about others? Do you think there will be that sense of respect and that sense of love when there is contradictions? Children want to do what we do more than to do what we tell them to do. Your child will follow your example more than they will follow your instructions. And know that once the first 5 or 6 or 7 years of their life are over, and they begin to enter into that early adolescent stage, you no longer become the focus of their life. The focus of their life become their friends. And if you have not equipped them and shown them love and tenderness in what is expected of them by you, and by most importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they may follow the wrong friends and be led astray. Your children are your life. Love them, nurture them, teach them through your action, through your example, through your conduct, more than through your words. Also, an important technique and something that we really need to stress upon is our constant dua for our children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the authentic hadith, لَا تَدْعُوا عَلَىٰ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. Don't make dua against your children. فَتُصِيبُونَ سَاعَةَ اسْتِجَابَةً. Perhaps you might make dua on your children and Allah answers your dua and you find distress after. You say to your son, why do you always do this? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fix you up. And you make that dua out of anger, not wanting any harm to happen to your son, and that harm may befall your son and you find yourself sorrowful for it. Also, protect your children from envy. Make dua for them, not against them. Protect your children from envy. Your younger children especially, your older children as well, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read Quran on them. Read Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times. Blow on your hands and wipe your hands on them before they sleep. Make the dua of protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read Ayatul Kursi in your home. Read the Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran in your home and ask Allah to protect you. Make sure that you don't expose your children all at once to an individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us in the Quran from the example of Yusuf alayhi salam that his father said to his children, لَا تَدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ. Don't all enter from one door. People might see you and say, wow, look at all these, look at that big family, look how nice and clean they are. Rather have a sense of modesty and respect. Have a sense of patience and perseverance. Be careful with your children. Be careful that people look at them and speak of them, whether in good or bad. Be happy that they are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But be kind in your relationship with them and with your dealings of others. And be careful with your children, for they are your life. I leave you with a final hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, where he would say to us as a believing ummah, as people of faith, takatharu, takatharu, increase our numbers, procreate and raise up righteous children, for it will be an honor for me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the Day of Judgment. We pray that our children will honor us and honor Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. Thank you for joining me again for another episode of How to Build a Happy Home. And we've been talking about our children truly are our life. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There's not a mother in this world who would watch her child cry in the street, stand and watch her weep. There's not a mother in this world who wouldn't give up her own life for the life of her child. There's not a mother in this world who wouldn't be happy to have a home for her family. We're all your homes, we're all your friends.